All right. If you didn't have an opportunity earlier in the service, or were just coming in, just take a moment to write something down that you hope God would do, or just a thing that's been weighing on your heart and your mind. It could be a hurt. It could be just somebody that's ailing in your life. It could be something concerning your relationship with God. It could be anything that you want to see God move and act and do something in. And just write that down. You could write down anywhere. I tried providing, or Barry was so helpful in getting all those distributed. Just take a second with that. So we have read through all of Matthew 8 and 9. Minus the funny passage about the wineskins, and that's a sermon for another day. But we read all of Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, and we hear in it several of the sort of great stories of sort of faithfulness. We have the man who has leprosy. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I forgot. I was going to tell you guys, we're going to spend a little bit of our service this week. I was going to tell you guys what I did on Monday. It bombed. I knew that it might, because anyways. And then I might talk to you about Tuesday. And I'm sorry, I'm just picking on my brother for going for an hour talking about Monday. But anyways, you guys forgot, so that's good. But anyways, all right. Joel is safe and sound back in New York, and he arrived late last night getting in. So thank you for your patience with him. Only a few of you left, so I think that that bodes well for me when I want to go an hour, that I just lose a couple of you. So we won't be an hour this morning. In fact, all of the scripture's been read. And so I just want to retell the stories, and I want to arrive at just something for each of us to walk away with this morning, there's a response for all of us this morning. And so just kind of rethinking through some of the stories and just kind of drawing out of it. There was the man who was healed with leprosy, and the problem was he had a skin disease. The problem was that he wouldn't be welcomed into community. But we have a Savior in Jesus Christ who welcomes the outcast. And the man, he inquires, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus' response is, "Yes, I am willing to make you clean." In response of people who probably would have just sort of sent the man off, Jesus' response is, "Yeah, I am willing to draw close to you." We have the faith of the centurion, the Roman soldier, the man who has authority, and we discover what faith is, this great faith. Jesus responds to the centurion. He says, "We haven't seen a faith like this in all of Israel." Because this man recognizes that Jesus Christ has authority, that Jesus Christ has been given a sort of power and strength from God that this man recognizes and sees. He's like, "Man, what you are doing, you are a man who has authority. A lot like me. I tell people to do something and it happens." And so Jesus says, "I haven't seen a faith like this in all of Israel." This is what Jesus has been looking for, people who trust in his authority. Then Matthew offers a sort of recap, and he does it throughout chapter 8 and 9. Of Jesus goes out and he heals many. He preaches that the kingdom is available to people, and he heals every disease, and he welcomes people. And Matthew quotes Isaiah 53. He says, "He took up our infirmities, and he bore our diseases." Then we see the sort of cost of following Christ. We see a couple of people saying, "Teacher, I'll go wherever you want to go." And Jesus responds with, "Yeah, you say that, but I hope you understand what that means. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head." He's saying, "It's going to be hard to follow me." Another guy says, "Yeah, I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my father." Now that's an incredibly important thing for him to do. And there's been debate about whether or not his dad was sick or if he's already passed away. But it was a Jewish man's responsibility to care for his family and bury his father. And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead." And this sort of like is a sort of a troubling passage, because it's kind of like, wait a minute, what is Jesus doing here? And what he is saying is there are going to always be an awful lot of really important things that you think you should do and ought to do, but following me is the very most important thing. And there's this little sort of message built within that that has instilled in me this sense of, we will always have very important things that we think we should do, and are always very good excuses and reasons as to why we shouldn't follow Jesus. But we have to make him the priority. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead, is in a sense of saying there are always going to be great priorities. But to be faithful to me is to follow me now, to seek my will now, to trust in him. And so the story continues, and Matthew keeps pressing on. There's a story of Jesus calming the storm. The disciples, they're in the middle of the boat, in the middle of a storm, and they wake up Jesus and they say, Lord, are you just wanting for us to drown? And then he says to them, you guys got very little faith. And what's up with that? I'm right here with you. Can't you tell that I was taking a good nap? And then Jesus calms the storm. And I love this response of the disciples. They've already spent a good deal of time with them, and here they are. Jesus calms the storm, and they say, who is this man? What great power that he can calm the storms? That he can calm the storms. We're in the boat with this guy. And so we start seeing the authority of Christ and people starting to recognize just how incredible Christ is. He's one who can calm the storm. He's one who can heal people of their diseases. And if that's not enough, Matthew then, he restores these two demon-possessed men who display faith in God in an odd way. It's unusual. He says, what would you do with us, Son of God, these demons say. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? It's like, we know we're going to have a bad day. Is this the day? And Jesus responds with, go. He has authority over evil to say, get away from here, depart, and they leave. Jesus has the power to forgive. There's the old story of the paralyzed man being brought to Jesus by his friends. And the friend's faith is a trust in knowing that if we just get our friend to Jesus, that he can do something about it. And they think that Jesus will heal him of his being paralyzed. But instead, Jesus says, I forgive you of your sins. Your sins are forgiven. Well, the Pharisees, they get all riled up. And it's like, who is this guy that he can forgive sins? And they scream out the word blasphemer. Like, you who's given you the authority? And Jesus is like, I'm doing this so you can see that I do have the authority. And then he heals the man. He's like, what's easier, that I forgive this man his sins or that I help him walk? And oh, look, ta-da, I have the power and authority to do both. You see, the Jesus Christ being revealed in Matthew 8 through 9 is revealing the Son of God to have authority in heaven and on earth to heal, to bring to life, to restore, to forgive, and to bring reconciliation to a lost and hurting world. And so when Jesus forgives a paralyzed man and he casts out a demon, Jesus is proclaiming again and again that he has all authority. Then we see the calling of Matthew. Jesus calls to him, follow me. And Matthew responds by getting up and following. I think it's great that Matthew paints himself in such positive light in Matthew's gospel, but why, then it follows with, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And we're told again and again why this faith and this authority and this Jesus is here. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. They question him about fasting, and then Jesus is presented with a real problem. There's a dead girl. The family is mourning, and Jesus enters in. He says, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus' response is that he gets up, and he went with them. And when he arrives, he says, go away. to the people who've gathered to mourn, go away. The girl's not dead, but asleep. Jesus heals her, and she gets up. The Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, has authority to calm the storm. He has authority to heal those who are sick. He has authority to bring justice and peace and care. He has authority over death. On the way there, there was a sick woman. A woman who would have never been allowed into her community because she was having some very internal problems. Bleeding and hurting. Yet because of Christ's love and his desire to heal and help, the sick woman says, if I could only touch his cloak, I would be healed. Jesus' response is, take heart. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed in that moment. And Jesus would go on to heal a blind man, who was two blind men and a mute. He said, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And Jesus says, do you believe that I can do this? And the response is, of course we believe. And Jesus heals. There are plenty of lessons that we can learn from Matthew 8 and 9. One of them is that the kingdom of God is available to the unlikeliest of people. If you were to put together a who's who's list in the first century world of who you would want to give testimony, it wouldn't be the likely characters that we have in Matthew 8 and 9. You have tax collectors, you have people who used to be demon-possessed, you know, the Looney Tunes. You have women who are ostracized, you have all kinds of people with all kinds of problems, and they're the ones who are saying, that man there is the Son of God. And we get a lesson from that. We get a lesson that the kingdom that Jesus presents and the people that Jesus welcomes is each and every single one of us. And whatever the baggage we bring into this morning, whatever hurts, whatever suffering, whatever we have going on, whatever it is that we do, we come knowing that there's a Savior who loves us, and he's not going to say this kingdom isn't for you. He's not going to show you the door. He's going to welcome you and say, come, and your faith will heal you if you would come and believe in me and Jesus Christ as your Lord and your King. And so friends, this morning I look at the story and this sort of ragtag bunch of testimonies, and I see a declaration that Christ Jesus is Lord and King, and his kingdom is for you. And I see in Matthew 8 lessons of just the story of Christ reveals that it's for all of us, and that the faith that's on display is again and again a belief in the authority of Christ. There are things that hold up the church. Things that we find as foundational and guiding. That as a community of people, as we seek first Christ and his kingdom, as we form our lives together, we are formed on certain truths. And one of those truths that come out of Matthew 8 and 9 is that Jesus Christ has authority. That he has power. That he is king. And so when we say, believe in Jesus, sometimes I don't know if we quite recognize what exactly we're saying there. And we have tension in our life, and it gets really distracting and really confusing. And I don't necessarily know how to make it any simpler, because it's really kind of hard. But what we say when we believe in Jesus is, we believe him to be the ruler over everything. We believe him to be our king, the one that we serve, the one we live for. He is our waking thought. He is our thought through our day. He is our guiding light. He is our hope, our salvation. Everything is wrapped up in this sort of identity of what we believe Jesus to be. The one who has authority. The one in whom we live for. And so our waking moments of our day is love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength, because we trust and believe and know that he is king and he has authority. We want to love as he calls us to love. We want to love our neighbor as ourselves, because this is the instructions of our King. And our family, our church, is formed and established on the authority of Christ, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ, Lord and King. And so our discussions and our life together and the things we do and the things we say and gathering around a table and having a meal together, praying to him, every action, every act of worship is about the glory of our King, the glory of our Savior Christ. It is our guiding light. And so, and then finally, there's so many more lessons. It's a window into our own faith. It's a window into what we believe in our faith. But I want to arrive at something really quickly. Everybody pull out their papers. And pass it to your neighbor and everybody read it out loud. No, I'm kidding. No. All right, hold on to your paper. Take a quick look at it. We went through the stories. We read Matthew 8 and 9. And I want to draw out 3 negative responses and 10 positive. Hold on, Annie. We can get through it, girl. No, we'll be fine. Jared, here we go. The negative responses are this. Look at your card, and you can look at faith in the same way as someone who would say, yeah, I will follow you, but first let me bury my own father. We could respond with whatever's on our card and say, I have something better to do. I have more important things to do. Another negative response, we have 3 of them, is blasphemer. He can't possibly do this. We could look at our cards and we could all collectively say, yeah, he couldn't possibly do this. We could look at our card and we could say what so many people said when they are faced with the power of God, and that was, leave me. Depart from me. Leave me. We can look at our cards and have 3 negative responses. That is, I have more important things to do. You can't possibly fulfill this. You don't possibly have the authority to do this. Or just be away from me. I don't want you in my presence. That seems like a good spot to leave our sermon, right? No, no. But look at the responses of the faithful, and Jesus celebrates this. He says, Lord, there's one who says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And friends, a positive response is that we can trust God that he can heal us, and he can heal our ailing and broken hearts. We could respond with, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but if you would just say the word, my servant would be healed. We can believe and trust and respond with the power and the authority of God. We can respond like Peter's mom, Peter's mother-in-law, who after she is healed, she gets up and she serves him. And we might look at what's on our card, and the response is that we need to go and respond and serve in light of God's healing and his love for us. That we could go and share about God's healing love for ourselves and share it with others. We could respond with, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And that we could respond with whatever's going on in our lives, we can say, trust and follow Jesus. That we could take up our crosses and decide today, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We could look at our card, and whatever we wrote down, if it's deeply personal, it's something going on in your life, you can respond with saying, Lord, save us and don't let us drown. Because the storm around me is just too strong. It's just too much. And whatever that storm is, whatever the struggle, whatever the heartache, whatever is going on, we can trust and believe that God is with us. And he is greater than the storm. Some men, they brought a paralyzed man laying on a mat. And perhaps the response is to do whatever it is that you have to do to get hurting people and hurting friends closer to Jesus. My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Perhaps we are hurting from the death of a loved one. And it takes a response of faith and trust to know that this day Jesus is victorious over death. And the response might be a response that Jesus expresses. Reminding ourselves that in the power of Christ, those who have passed before us are only asleep. But the power of Christ is greater than death. And for all of us that are hurting over the loss of loved ones, we can know that there is healing love and the power of resurrection. If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. If we follow the steps of the hurting woman, maybe today is just one, the response is just one step closer to Jesus. One step closer in our faith and our walk with him to say, you know, I've been so far away and I just need to be just closer to him today. Maybe it's just rejuvenating your prayers. Maybe it's just a little bit more walking closer with Jesus. Whatever is hurting us is meant to refine us and draw us closer to the strength we have in Christ. If I only touch his cloak, have mercy on us, Son of David. Perhaps a response is a call for forgiveness, a call for help, for healing, or restoration. Or perhaps it is simply this: yes, Lord, we do believe. For us all, our response must be, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what was on your card today, but I know a Savior who loves you. And there is so much hurt in our world. There's only one who has overcome it. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'd ask today that you would respond in faith to him. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we cherish you. And we cannot go forward without you. There is a response of faith that we all need. A faith of trust in your authority and your power. And I'd ask God that whatever is written down, that we would have the courage, that we would have the support, that we would have the people in our lives to help us respond in a faithful and loving way. For those who are hurting today, God, who wrote down something that has just been weighing on their minds and their hearts or something that's hurting them, we pray for healing and love and hope. May we be a church that can mourn together. For those who are far off, Lord, if we just wrote a name of someone that we wish would come to you, we pray for those people that they would be drawn to you and they would experience the forgiveness of your Son and your healing love. For all of us, God, may we walk in faith this day and trust in you in all that we do. May we walk faithfully in your authority, under your authority, in all things. We praise you. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
Will you stand with us?